Why Iran conflict handed China the keys to the clean energy future. The conflict in the Gulf has done what a decade of climate policy could not. It has made China's dominance over clean technology supply chains not merely an economic concern but an acute national security emergency for every U.S. ally on the planet. The war in Iran, now 44 days old as of April 19, 2026, has delivered a brutal arithmetic lesson to energy importing nations. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen disclosed Monday that the bloc's bill for fossil fuel imports has risen by more than 22 billion euros since the conflict began. The immediate response from governments across the EU, UK, South Korea, the Philippines, and India has been near uniform: accelerate electrification, expand renewables, reduce exposure to fossil fuel price volatility. The structural problem that response creates is equally uniform: every gigawatt of solar, every EV, every wind turbine that these countries deploy runs through Chinese manufacturing, Chinese refining, or Chinese-controlled critical mineral supply chains. The escape hatch from one geopolitical dependency opens directly into another. Simone Tagliapietra, a senior fellow at Brussels-based think tank Bruegel, drew a distinction that is becoming central to policy debates: the dependency on oil and gas flows, which can be interrupted with immediate repercussions on the economy, is very different from dependency on predominant suppliers of some key technologies. That framing is analytically useful, but it understates the leverage Beijing has already demonstrated. China imposed sweeping export restrictions on several rare earths last year in response to U.S. tariffs, a direct shot across the bow of global clean energy supply chains. The policy contradiction is on full display in Brussels. The European Commission, which had originally scheduled a session on China relations the same day von der Leyen convened an emergency discussion on Iran, is simultaneously pushing two incompatible agendas: accelerate the green transition, and reduce dependence on the country that manufactures most of it. China controls the physical infrastructure of decarbonization. The raw supply data is unambiguous and structurally durable. China produces nearly 80% of the world's solar panels, and an even greater share of the core electronic components, cells and wafers, according to the International Energy Agency. Chinese exports of electric and hybrid vehicles hit a record 349,000 units in March 2026, more than doubling year over year. On the minerals side, Beijing refines approximately 90% of rare earths used in wind turbines and EVs, and controls the majority of lithium and cobalt processing used in battery manufacturing. These are not market share statistics that shift over a business cycle. Rare earth refining capacity, solar wafer manufacturing, and EV battery gigafactories represent decade-long capital commitments with steep learning curves. The IEA figures reflect a structural position that took 15 years and hundreds of billions in state-directed investment to build. No tariff regime or industrial policy sprint by Europe or the US closes that gap in the medium term. The Philippines illustrates the downstream consequence of the Iran war in real time. Fuel shortages across Asia have prompted four-day work weeks in both the Philippines and Bangladesh, while India has capped natural gas use for industry and Cambodia has cut import taxes on green goods. These are demand signals for Chinese clean tech, arriving precisely when Beijing's export machine is running at full velocity. Key supply chain data, IEA, 2026, China, 80% of global solar panel production, 90% of rare earth refining, record 349,000 EV/hybrid exports in March 2026, 2x year-over-year, the PAC Silica counter, real initiative, insufficient scale. Washington has not been passive. The U.S. and Philippines announced a 4,000-acre economic security zone in Luzon in April 2026, billed as the first AI-native investment acceleration hub under the PAC Silica framework, a U.S.-led coalition launched in December 2025 to secure supply chains for semiconductors, AI, and critical minerals. Undersecretary of State Jacob Hellberg described the initiative as a purpose-built platform to secure inputs vital to American supply chains and reshape how allies manufacture together. PAC Silica represents the most coherent U.S.-led attempt to build alternative supply chain architecture since Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, and the comparison is instructive. The IRA mobilized hundreds of billions in industrial policy over 4 years and made measurable but limited progress in reducing Chinese dominance in battery and solar manufacturing. Then, as Tagliapietra noted, Trump abolished those measures upon taking office, surrendering whatever competitive ground had been gained. The Luzon ESZ is ambitious: 4,000 acres, AI-native design, treaty ally backing, but it is one node. China's clean tech manufacturing ecosystem spans dozens of provinces, thousands of firms, and a vertically integrated supply chain from mine to finished product. The EU's legislative response, championed by industry chief Stefan Sejern, would require member governments to spend more on domestically produced green technologies and introduce a cap on foreign investment from countries controlling more than 40% of global manufacturing in any clean technology category, a threshold calibrated precisely to target Beijing. The bloc already mandates that a defined share of demand for green goods and minerals be met through domestic production by 2030. Our view, neither PAC Silica nor the EU's proposed industrial law changes the near-term supply reality. They change the trajectory, but the runway to meaningful diversification is 10-plus years, not 3. In the interim, the Iran war is accelerating demand for Chinese clean tech faster than any allied industrial policy can substitute for it. The Canada trade, a template for grudging accommodation, Canada's recent decision to reduce its 100% tariff on Chinese EVs in exchange for the removal of Chinese tariffs on billions of dollars in Canadian agricultural products offers a preview of how the geopolitical economic tension resolves in practice. Energy Minister Tim Hodgson told Politico the deal created an opportunity for us to bring in electric vehicles that are at a price point that no one was serving today and called it a great trade for Canada. That exchange is a data point, not an anomaly. Spain, whose renewables boom insulated it from the worst of the current fossil fuel price surge, has secured large Chinese investments in its energy sector. Pakistan has absorbed cheap Chinese solar panels that cushioned its economy from the Iran-driven energy crunch. Germany's economy minister will travel to Beijing next month, following visits by the chancellor and environment minister, aimed at attracting Chinese clean tech investors. Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez visited Beijing last week for the fourth time in 4 years, focused on securing access to critical raw materials. The pattern is consistent. Countries that face acute energy security pressure are trading long-term strategic autonomy concerns for near-term affordability and supply. The British government blocked a $2 billion Chinese wind turbine factory in Scotland over national security concerns, but that decision is outlier behavior, not the trend. Sources: Politico EU, Gulf News, Free Republic. The defense industrial parallel: Ukraine's drone makers show the way the strategic logic playing out in clean energy has a direct parallel in defense manufacturing. General Cherry, a Ukrainian drone maker producing FPV and interceptor drones, is partnering with New Hampshire-based Wilcox Industries to manufacture on U.S. soil, explicitly because staying in Ukraine means, in co-founder Stanislav Hryshin's words, getting eliminated either by Russian attacks or by being outcompeted in a saturated, under-resourced local market. The company's concern is that without international presence, foreign firms will copy Ukrainian innovations and scale production, capturing market share that should belong to the innovator. The structural parallel to clean energy is precise. The innovator, Ukrainian drone tech, European clean energy policy ambition, faces elimination without access to manufacturing scale it cannot build domestically. The solution in both cases is geographic distribution of production, either to allied territory or, in the clean energy case, to the dominant supplier regardless of geopolitical alignment. The difference is that China's position in clean tech is orders of magnitude more entrenched than any single actor's position in drone manufacturing. Investment positioning for institutional capital: the Iran war's clean energy consequence creates three distinct investment vectors: long, Chinese clean tech exporters and the logistics chain serving them. The IEA data on solar panel and EV market share, combined with the demand acceleration from the Iran shock, makes the near-term earnings trajectory for Chinese clean tech manufacturers structurally positive. Western tariff regimes create friction but have not interrupted the underlying volume growth. March EV export data at 349,000 units, doubling year-over-year, is the proof. Long, critical mineral processors outside Chinese control. The 90% rare earth refining concentration and last year's export restriction episode identify the single most acute choke point in the global clean energy supply chain. Any credible diversification play: Australian rare earth processors, Canadian lithium projects, African cobalt, commands a strategic premium that has only grown since the Iran conflict began. The B2 Gold, Agnico Eagle transaction, in which B2 Gold agreed to sell its 70% interest in the Fingold joint venture in Nunavut for $325 million in cash, reflects continued institutional appetite for Arctic Canadian mining assets with strategic mineral optionality. Monitor, EU industrial policy risk. Sojourn's proposed legislation introduces a 40% foreign manufacturing concentration cap that, if enacted, materially changes the competitive calculus for Chinese clean tech in the world's largest single market. The speed and scope of implementation will determine whether this is genuine supply chain restructuring or, as has happened repeatedly with European industrial policy, a delayed and diluted accommodation to the economic reality of Chinese price competitiveness. The Plaquemines view: the Iran war has not created China's clean energy dominance, it has crystallized it. Beijing has spent 15 years building vertical integration across solar, wind, EV, and critical minerals that no allied industrial policy sprint can displace in the relevant investment horizon. What the conflict has done is collapse the political ambiguity that allowed Western governments to hedge between supply chain security and cost efficiency. That ambiguity is now resolved, and it resolved in China's favor. The second-order play that the market is underpricing, China's clean tech export growth is not just an economic story, it is a geopolitical consolidation. Every solar panel Pakistan installs, every EV Canada imports, every Chinese investment Spain accepts in its energy sector is a node in a network of material dependency that Beijing will eventually be able to leverage, diplomatically and commercially. This is the fossil fuel dependency problem reproduced in a different register, not the same vulnerability profile, as Talia Pietra correctly notes, but a dependency nonetheless, with political weight that will compound over time. The Pax Silica initiative and the EU industrial law represent the structural response. Both are real, both are underfunded relative to the scale of the challenge, and both are operating on a timeline that trails the demand acceleration the Iran war has just triggered. The Luzon ESC is the right architecture, AI-native, ally-integrated, supply-chain-focused, but 4,000 acres in the Philippines does not offset Chinese dominance across 80% of global solar manufacturing. Plaquemines core thesis: the next 18 months will see a bifurcation between nations that lock in Chinese clean tech dependency at scale, accommodators, Canada, Spain, Pakistan, much of the developing world, and nations that absorb the cost penalty of domestic first procurement, EU, UK, the Pax Silica Coalition. That bifurcation defines two different long-term energy infrastructure ownership maps, and two different geopolitical influence maps. Investors who can identify which category each market falls into are positioned ahead of a re-rating that has not yet occurred in clean energy equities or infrastructure valuations. The bottom line: the Iran war is the fastest moving demand accelerator for Chinese clean energy exports in the technology's history. China produces nearly 80% of solar panels, refines approximately 90% of rare earths, and just recorded a doubling of EV exports in a single month. No allied industrial policy, not the EU's proposed cap law, not Pax Silica's Luzon ESC, not Canada's selective tariff accommodation, changes the supply reality within a five-year horizon. Institutional capital should price Chinese clean tech market share as structurally durable, treat critical mineral processing diversification as the highest premium strategic play in the energy transition, and watch EU industrial legislation as the single policy variable most capable of reshaping the medium-term competitive landscape. The question is no longer whether the world will depend on Chinese clean technology. It is who controls the terms of that dependence, and for how long.